readers! Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Joshua Chaplinsky is the author of Kanye West Reanimator and the short story collection Whispers in the Ear of a Dreaming Ape. His new novel, The Paradox Twins, features estranged twin brothers who reunite at their father's funeral to discover they no longer look alike. The result is an experimental sci-fi ghost story about the scariest, most unknowable quantity there is, family. Let's join Clayton Gumbert in conversation with Joshua Chaplinsky.
Well, Josh, thanks for joining us on Books Connect Us. Congratulations on your first novel. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels great. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It feels as real as it can in these quote-unquote trying times we live in.
Yeah, so the name of the book is The Paradox Twins, and we'll get into what the book is about a little bit. I mean, I don't want to spoil a lot of it, but, you know, if you want to give us a little rundown of what it is. But before that, I want to ask you, did you write a lot of this during the quarantine?
No, I didn't write any of it during the quarantine. I did a lot of last-minute editing and fine-tuning and typesetting, but the novel itself was locked and ready to go probably a good while before the quarantine, at least a year.
Oh, wow. So what delayed the release of it? Was it quarantine related or?
No, it was just the usual publishing moves really slow, and even indie publishing can move slow. And it was ready to go around the same time my short story collection came out, Whispers in the Ear of a Dreaming Ape, which was also put out by Clash Books. And I basically presented them with both at the same time, and they wanted to go with the short story collection first because it was kind of easier to get ready and get out there and maybe drum up a little interest, a little more interest before they committed to putting the novel out.
So they wanted to give people a small taste.
Exactly.
Just give them a taste. And then once they get a taste, they got to get the whole thing.
Yeah, they knew they would come back for more. So once they got a taste of Josh.
So you've written a good amount of short fiction. What is the, obviously, this is a pretty obvious question, but I always find it interesting because it can vary from author to author. What is the difference in writing, say, a short story and a novel? I mean, obviously, a novel is a huge undertaking, but there's different mindset, I'm sure, to writing one and the other. So can you go into that just a little bit?
Yeah, they're two pretty different beasts, and I think there are varying opinions as to which is easier. I think sometimes it's harder to be concise and to say everything you want to say within a restricted form. So in that respect, short stories can be harder. But then there's also, with anything longer, you run into trouble with just, you know, putting too much in there and meandering and not knowing when to shut up. So, I mean, I haven't really decided which I like better or which I think is harder. They're pretty different.
So give us a little bit of an idea what the novel is about, The Paradox Twins.
Okay, well, Paradox Twins is, at its core, it's about estranged identical twin brothers who reunite at their father's funeral to kind of discover that they no longer look alike. And that's really the impetus for the story, and it goes from there.
So what's interesting about the novel is that it's told in an unorthodox kind of way. So I guess I'm trying to explain this concisely because it's such an interesting format where you have script pages from scripts written about the characters' lives, plus excerpts from their books and their points of view telling this story from all different angles. Plus, you have the narrator, which is not you, but it is. It's your name, but it's a pseudonym. And then there's also that narration going on, too. So you're getting that as a character. And then you have pieces of things like death certificates and things like that, like coroner's reports. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of different pieces. And I'm assuming when you say it's hard to not be long-winded, I could imagine you wanting to add all of these different things into this pot, and it would be difficult to like restrain yourself from adding all these different elements. What was that like compiling this?
Well, I feel like the story itself is pretty straightforward and concise, and that actually existed first because I originally wrote the story as a screenplay close to 10 years ago is when I started that. So to get to its final form, the choice to tell the story from different points of view, from varying source materials, that was kind of after the fact. So I wasn't necessarily adding content or adding to the story. I was just messing around with the way I told the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's a unique challenge, I would think, for an author to write from so many distinct points of view, because you're using excerpts from different characters and everybody writes differently. And so I'm sure it was difficult to have to, not difficult, but it was a fun challenge, I'm sure, to use different voices to create this story. And did your expertise in writing short stories help with that? Because a lot of short stories can be written in different voices, different points of view and stuff.
Well, I feel...
Or no, you can say no.
I would definitely say that was something I was very mindful of, and that I tried very hard to make the different sections, the different voices of the characters stand out from one another. And part of the way I did that was I would restrict myself and put and enforce certain rules on each one, where I would be like, so well, they're in, some of them are in different tenses, so I started with that. And then two were more naturalistic memoir types of books, so that informed the writing. And then one was a more stylized fictional account, so I tried to make it a little more flowery and even overwritten. And then I would do things like certain characters, I would not let them use contractions, or you know, not let them, or I one I would the younger character would use more adverbs, because that's, you know, maybe a young person would use more adverbs more freely, and you know, things like that.
So what made you want to take this from a straightforward narrative to adding all these elements?
Just because really that's what I like to read. Those are the kind of novels I like to read. Like, I like that stuff. I like kind of ergodic kind of, you know, books that experiment with form. I don't necessarily love experimental fiction that, you know, something maybe like Naked Lunch, where you read it and it's kind of word salad, and it's more about just kind of like, it's almost a poetry that kind of flows over you, and it's about a tone and a feeling and an impression. I like my experimental fiction to have kind of a straightforward narrative just kind of told maybe in a non-linear way or in a non-straightforward way.
So would you say something like House of Leaves, those kind of books?
Yeah, exactly.
Would
I mean,
be an influence?
House of Leaves is probably a big touchstone, you know, as far as like the footnotes and the story within a story kind of thing. That was definitely one of the first books like that I read. And I'm a sucker for that sort of thing. I can't help it. I love it. So I wanted my book to be like the books I love, and that's what I did with it.
And you mentioned footnotes, so there are footnotes in this.
Yes.
And the footnotes are from a webmaster, because this whole story is being told about these brothers, these twins, and from different points of view. And the webmaster has accumulated all these things into one place. And the webmaster has your name, correct?
Yes, that's one of his names.
One of his names, because your name, that you use your name as a pseudonym for the character.
Correct.
Which is very interesting. And then we get glimpses of this character's biases through the footnotes, which I thought were very, very interesting. And it's adding that other narrator into it. And I wanted to ask, and that's a very long-winded way of asking a question, which is, I feel like this book plays with identity a lot. Mm-hmm. And as people who live to various degrees on the internet is all about identity and how you make yourself appear on the internet, how you are in real life. And I think there's a lot of commenting on that in this book. Is that something that you wanted to tackle?
I don't know if it was very consciously where I was like, you know, this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart, and I want to talk about this in some sort of more obscure way. I don't know. I just think it just kind of like naturally happened. It naturally lent itself to that.
It's very interesting that you can tell some of the characters feel like they appear a certain way when they actually aren't that way when you read what they write. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what we all do. But then seeing it, when you see those varying perspectives, it becomes even more stark.
Yeah, I think, too, at first it wasn't my intention, but as I went on, and definitely in the editing process and the adaptation process of turning it from a screenplay into a novel, I realized that, and I kind of leaned into it a bit more. And because the one thing that didn't exist in the screenplay was the footnotes and the character who is writing the footnotes and who's kind of compiled all these different bits of story together to kind of piece them together and make his own version of the story of these twins. So I needed a reason for why the idea I first had was telling the story from the different points of view. And I was like, well, what would be a cool way to do that? Oh, I know. We basically have three people who had the same experience, and they each wrote their own memoir or novel about it. And I'll kind of like cut and paste them and mix and match and use bits and pieces of each of them. And I thought that was a cool idea. But then I realized I kind of needed an actual reason to do that. Otherwise, you know, I was like, well, why would this exist? Why would this book exist? Why would it be pieces of three different books in one? And so then I came up with the idea, you know, I wanted to have footnotes to begin with, and the footnotes kind of started out more like, I don't know, it was just like me inserting weird factoids and interesting tidbits and kind of maybe even showing off a bit like my knowledge of weird things that pertain to the story but kind of didn't belong there. And so I needed to have a reason for the footnotes as well, and the two kind of merged when I kind of came upon the idea, or I realized how to merge the two by making the footnotes had to be part of the story, not just commenting on it or interjecting. It needed to actually, I wanted it to be part of the story and then kind of affect the story in a way that made you re-examine it in the end. So the author of the footnotes had to be a full character of the story with their own arc and, you know, their own like character arc, and affect this narrative after the fact, I suppose, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because it's very fun to see this character emerge through footnotes. So I really thought that was so interesting. But you also write parts of scripts that were written about these twins. Mm-hmm. And the scripts are not always good. Like, part of the scripts are not good, or there's one scene where one of the twins sees another character coming out of the shower, and the way it's written and then the way it's actually happened, it's so interesting to see that. So did you get a kick out of writing parts of a script that might not be the best kind of script writing?
Yeah, definitely. That was fun, and that was a way to kind of differentiate the different quote-unquote drafts of the script that were written by different writers. And part of the reason I used the script passages in the first place was, you know, one, because I wanted additional different sources and formats to use within the book other than just the memoirs and novels of the characters, but also because it had started as a screenplay, and part of it was laziness, because in adapting this whole thing, you know, I was basically going back to the bones and adding description and all this other stuff. And so some sections I was like, do I really want to, I got to do this again. I got to go in here and fatten it up. I don't really feel like doing that. And so I was like, well, no, I could just leave it as is, and it'll just be another part of the story, another viewpoint, another format to use.
So how ironic would it be if this book got optioned to become a movie, and then you had to adapt it back into a screenplay?
I mean, I have thought of that. Like, it's such a roundabout pathway to the screen, where a screenplay is adapted into a novel, and then, you know, optioned for the screen and adapted back into the screenplay. Like, it would be, I probably would rather not be the one to readapt it back into a screenplay, because I feel I've had enough with it at this point, and I already did that part. Yeah, just honestly, I wouldn't be precious about it. Pay me and then give it to someone else, and you can do whatever you want with it. I don't care.
It's a way, because it's going to be, well, the thing is, it's just another point of view on a story that you wrote. So it would become a meta comment on the book.
Exactly. It would just totally be in theme with the rest of it. It would be pretty cool, actually.
Your book's coming, it's coming out April 6th, correct?
Yeah, April 6th.
April 6th. Anywhere you can buy books. Is there somewhere where you would prefer people purchase it?
I mean, you could purchase it directly through the publisher Clash Books. I mean, they're a small press, and that helps them the most. And it'll, I guess, you know, in a way, it helps me, makes me look better to them. So that's probably the best place to get it as far as that goes. But then, you know, it's on Amazon and, you know, wherever else.
Yeah, wherever else you can find books. So do you have any plans to write another novel? What's coming up for you? Are you taking a rest after all this, or are you just plugging away?
Well, at the moment, since I'm back at work full time, and I've kind of been, you know, had the lead up to the release of this novel, I haven't been doing too much new writing, although I only recently went back to work because of the pandemic. So I was home for the better part of a year, and I was lucky enough to be able to do a good deal of writing. And all that is to say, I do have something else I've been working on, a follow up. It is another screenplay. It's another idea that started as a screenplay that I didn't want to let go to waste, because I'd done all that work, that I'm trying to turn into a novel. And not in exactly the same way, but again, I have found myself, and I don't know if it's because I get bored, or, I, you know, like I said earlier, it's kind of, I just want to turn it into something I would appreciate and find cool. It's not the most straightforward thing again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the internet has kind of turned us all into pastiche artists in a way.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big theme of the Paradox Twins too, is the idea of repurposing an art as collage, or collage as art. you know, and using bits and pieces of other people's art to make your own. I mean, it's not a new idea, but I just think it's more prevalent now, and it's easier to accomplish because we have access to more things, and it's easier to be anonymous and take these things and put them together and just throw them back out there without anyone really knowing who you are.
Yeah. I loved the book, obviously. I mean, you know, full disclosure, we're friends. We know each other.
But I
thought it was really cool because I'm a fan of that kind of stuff too. And I think anytime anybody completes a novel, it is just a feat. It is just a complete feat of strength to be able to get through something that long. And congratulations on it. And I'm sure you're going to do more of these once you get your wind back and stuff like that. But is there any where that people can find you? Do you want to be found online? That's a great question I should always ask people. Do you actually want to be found? Because some people don't.
Yeah, I like to be found now and again. I mean, I have a website, joshuajaplinski.com. I mean, I don't really throw much up there other than information on releases and stuff. You kind of have to have one. And then, you know, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at JC Cock Robin. There's the unravelingtheparadox.com, which may or may not belong to me. It's a website from the book, part of the book. You can check it out if you're interested, or check out, you know, my short story collection or Kanye West Reanimator. That's basically my favorite place to be found, is in the things I've written.
Absolutely. Well, Josh, thanks for taking the time. Everybody, buy The Paradox Twins, coming out April 6th, and buy it from Clash Books. Come on,
yeah,
just
support
it.
Support
indie press. You got to. So, Josh, thank you so much. I'll talk to you
soon.
Yeah,
thank you, Clayton.
Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.